I feel like I need to run like 50 laps around this building after that teaching, although I'd be very winded and I wouldn't be able to teach, so I'm not going to do that. So what we're going to look at now ties perfect, and it's not because Lisi and I talked. It's not because I read her teaching beforehand. It's because we're here because of God. And that is key to remember when you're at a teaching, when you're at a camp. Remember that it's orchestrated by God. Each person here has Christ in them. Each teacher has Christ in them. Each person ushering has Christ in them. It's not a coincidence when somebody hugs you. It's not a coincidence when teachings tie together. It's because this is by God. And when we forget that and we just think this is just about people, we should just go jump in the lake or something, because it's pointless. It's pointless if it's not God. This could be beautiful, but if it wasn't done by believers, who the heck cares? You know? This is God. And that's something that we should remember throughout the week, that we should be expecting what we need from the teachings, not because it's Bob teaching, but it's because it's God's word. Right? That's how it is. So what we're going to look at today, you can open your Bibles to Genesis. It's the hardest book in the Bible to find. What we're going to look at today is that your job, or whether people hurt you, or just the stuff of life, is just no reason to not believe God's word. And the way that we're going to look at that is we're going to look at the life of a guy named Joseph. So I'm going to do my best to cover a good span of his life from when he was 17 to 30, so he was a youth, but I'm going to try to not have this take 2 hours. So we'll see how that goes. And one thing I wanted to mention before we get started, everyone here already knows how to believe. So you're not here to learn how to believe, right? When you're driving and you have your GPS on and it tells you to turn right, you turn right because you believe it was right. If you didn't believe it was correct, you would just say, turn right at the next sign. No, screw you, you're wrong, you're always wrong. And you go straight. That you mean you're not believing your GPS, right? We all know how to believe. What we want to do this week is remember to believe God bigger. You always have a bunch of options of what you could believe. You could have a job and you could just be all worried about that job, and that could be all that you think about all the time, and you don't think about God, right? So you're believing stuff about your job instead. So what we're going to work on this morning is looking at how to believe God, not just how to believe, okay? So Genesis 37, let's actually read the Bible now. Genesis 37, we'll start in verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. So just like Lisi talked about the walk of youth, this guy was a youth for the entire span of his life that we're going to look at this morning. Being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And that coat of many colors wasn't just to decorate him and make him look cool. That indicated that Joseph, even though he was not the oldest, was going to be the heir. Verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they didn't care and went on with their lives. No, they hated him. This is not starting off well. And could not speak peaceably unto him. You know, they just couldn't even be around him and say anything nice. They couldn't even peaceably be with him. They just hated his guts. Really pleasant upbringing. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. This is going even better. Verse 6. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Maybe he shouldn't have told them that. Verse 8. And his brethren said, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? and they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. I don't even know what level of hatred they were on at this point. It's clear his brothers weren't really a fan of Joseph. Let's skip down to verse 12. We didn't skip that far. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So, you know, Joseph's dad said, hey, can you go check on your brothers and make sure everything's cool with them? Verse 15. I feel like that was a setup, by the way. verse 15, I'm just kidding. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, looking for my brothers. Tell me, I pray thee, where are they feeding their flocks? Where are they at? Verse 17. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Like, what the heck are these guys up to? Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Yet that level of hatred, that's not good. They wanted to kill him. And they said one another, behold, this dreamer cometh. And dreamer there means, oh, here's the master of dreams. Here comes the big dreamer guy who knows everything. It was very not endearing. Here comes this master of dreams. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit somewhere. And we will say, some evil beast did this, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Like, whew, that's some, want some ice for that? Verse 21. And Reuben heard it, one of the brothers, and delivered him out of their hands and said, let's not kill him. And Reuben said, shed no blood, but let's cast him into this pit that's in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben kind of comes to the rescue and says, how about you don't kill him, but let's just throw him into some ditch somewhere and let someone else find him. 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. That's good, because they would have drowned him then. Verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread. And sitting down means they showed indifference. They just threw their son, not their son, they threw their brother into a pit. And then they sat down to have a sandwich. It just showed they didn't even care. They really hated him. Joseph didn't do anything to deserve this. The reason they hated him was because their father loved him. Verse 25, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Like, come on, guys, let's be real here. He's our brother. Let's try to make some money off of this. You're like, what? So after they sat down to eat lunch, they saw some people coming, decided, let's make some money off of this. Let's sell our brother into slavery, right? This is the best way to handle this. And then it says, oh, they were content. Oh, good. I'm glad they're happy. Verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, let's take a moment and think about this from Joseph's perspective. First of all, it sucks to be sold into slavery, right? I think that's what we already get to in our heads, like, oh, he's going to be a slave. He no longer is going to have the ability to decide, I want to go eat a sandwich. He has to do whatever his master says for whatever amount of time he's in slavery. Not only that, he was taken away from everyone he knew. You know, his father adored him. Think about somebody who you know loves you. Maybe it's your father. Maybe it's your sibling. Maybe it's your wife or husband. Imagine being torn out of their life, that person having no idea where you are, and you're going into slavery. He got screwed. He didn't do anything to deserve this. He got screwed, right? This sucks. And let's see what he does with his brain and his life. This isn't, you know, some light thing, but let's see how he conducts his life, because he has every right at this point to be very bitter. Let's go to chapter 39, and we're going to read a little of this chapter. So let's see how Joseph conducts his life. Verse 1 of chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So he gets bought by people and then gets sold again. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Wow. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. How do you think Potiphar knew that God was with Joseph? Was it because Joseph had some halo over his head? Was it because Joseph, like, sang like an angel? You know, maybe he did. I have no freaking idea. But it was because of how he conducted his life. And that is how people are going to know God is with you. You don't have a halo over your head. I'm looking at you. I don't see one. However, I can tell what you believe by what you do. Let's keep reading a couple verses. Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left everything he had in Joseph's hand. And he didn't even know what he had anymore, save what he was eating. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Joseph conducted his life in a way that represented God. He did what he did with integrity. He ran that house, and his master knew he didn't even have to check on what he was doing. He knew that if he asked for something, it was going to be done right. The first time, he didn't even have to check. So Potiphar was living the life, and all he had to think about was what he was going to eat. I want to go to Psalm real quick. You can leave your ribbon or your neighbor's foot or something in where we are now. The first Psalm. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This sounds a lot like Joseph. All right, this is a key in God's word that worked for Joseph, and it'll work for you. When you keep God first, what you do will prosper. Whether you're a slave, which I hope none of you are, or whether you're in school, whether you have a job, maybe you like that job or not, maybe you settled for that job, who cares? Operate God's word, and what you do will prosper. You can remove your neighbor's foot from your Bible and go back to Genesis 39. God's word is full of keys that when we unlock those keys and apply them in our life, they will work better than anything else in the world. They're more guaranteed. It's more, you know, guaranteed to be true than anything else you might be trying to do, like a diet or something. Whatever you people do. Genesis 39. We're going to pick it up here. So I'm going to Actually, you know what? Let's read it. Let's go to Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that, so, you know, things are going well for Joseph. It's like, all right, you know, I may be a slave, but, you know, everything's going well. However, verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And it doesn't mean, like, lie down next to me, if you know what I mean. Verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife, might I remind you. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, you know what I mean, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Uh-oh, this is another setup. Verse 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So she lies. Joseph has integrity, even though she might not have even told Potiphar what happened if he had actually just gave in to her. I don't know. He did not give in to her. He had integrity. He respected his boss, and he respected God enough to not lie with her. And yet, he got screwed again because she grabbed a piece of his garment and lied about what happened and said what he didn't do did happen. So let's pick it up in verse 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, this is getting worse, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph, once again, got screwed over by people. Once again, well entitled to be the most bitter guy on the earth. He is loved by his father, and because of that, he gets sold into slavery. And then he does really well, and things start to look up again, and then he gets thrown into jail. And then he's in jail, and then once again, his master in jail doesn't even have to look at anything, and now Joseph is running the jail. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Once again, you could throw something in your Bible there. We're going to come back. Colossians 3. Now, the book of Colossians is not written when Joseph was alive. However, we know that Joseph did the verse that we're going to read. So I wanted to look at it because this is talking to you. This is our administration. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, if you like your job, not with eye service as men please. No, it just says according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, whether you like what you're doing or not, do it heartily for God and not for men. People are people. God is God. Joseph had that straight in his head. If people were God and he hinged his attitude in life upon how people treated him, he would have been the most bitter person. And you know what? A lot of people in here have been hurt by other people. It comes with the territory of being a human and having human friends, all right? People hurt people. Sometimes in this case, in Joseph's case, it was on purpose. And sometimes in our lives, people hurt us on purpose. They say things to us because they know it'll hurt us. They do something to us because they know it'll screw us, right? What are you gonna do with that? Is your life over now? I certainly hope not. And you know, so what if you're in a job that you don't like? Joseph was in jail. So what? Do God's word. This is not like how to succeed in life and how to become America's next billionaire. That's not what this verse is here for. This is a spiritual truth. When you do this, you represent God. God's word isn't ways to get along with people. God's word isn't, you know, how to look good. God's word is how to represent God. Work hard and do everything you do with heart because you're doing it for God. And people will notice that. That's how Joseph ended up at the top in Potiphar's house. That's how Joseph ended up at the top in jail. Just do what you do with integrity. You know, if you don't like your job, you can get a new one. But, you know, are we so concerned about what job we have? Is that our pursuit in life? If we are more concerned about God and believing God's word, you're going to love where you end up because God will prosper you. Let's go real quick to Matthew chapter 6. This one is not in the notes. Let's just throw it in there. You probably know where I'm going to go, but that's okay. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't get stuck in the stuff of life. Believe God. Believe his word. Do the word. Who cares where you are, where you're working, whether you're not working, whether you're looking for a job, whatever. God is God. God's with you. Let's go to Genesis 40. If we get much more concerned about whether or not we're serving God than whether or not we have the job we like, God's going to take care of the stuff. If you want the stuff in your life figured out, serve God first. Let God be first. Start your day with God. You know, you'll be amazed at what God does to prosper you. God cannot do less than his word, but he can certainly go above and beyond his word for you. So put everything in God's word. Invest in that. Genesis 40. All right, we'll start in verse 1. We'll see how far we read here. And it came to pass, so let me remind you, Joseph's in jail. Great. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king. He made some bad bread, and so he got thrown into prison. Great. Verse 2, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound, in case you forgot where Joseph was. Verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. So Joseph was kind of like put in charge of them, you know, keep an eye out for these guys. Verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. They had a bad dream. Verse 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today? Why you look so sadly? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said, oh, I'm really good at this. Let me tell you. No. And that's a huge, this whole dream thing has gone great for Joseph, right? Joseph said, and this is a huge key to your walk with God. He said, do not interpretations belong to God? Joseph didn't, okay, They need somebody to interpret their dream. What do I know about dreams? Does this possibly relate to the dream I had a few years ago? I don't know. Let me listen to their dream and figure out what it could possibly symbolize by numbers in the Bible in correspondence to their dream. No. He said, interpretations belong with God. In his head, he was like, all right, if there's an answer here, God has it. Simple. And that's all you have to do in your life. You're in a situation, somebody needs an answer. You don't have to be like, okay, have I seen this before? Has somebody had this situation before? Has Jerry told a story about this before? Should I do the same thing? No, it's God has an answer for you. And it might be different than anything that has ever happened in the history of the universe. But that's okay. You're going to get that answer. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, and then he goes on to tell him his dream. Okay. Let's go to... So they both tell Joseph their dreams. The butler and the baker tell them their dreams. And so then what Joseph does is he tells them what's going to happen. And we can go pick that up in verse 18. And Joseph answered and said, there is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So one person, their dream was a really good thing, and the guy doesn't die. The other guy doesn't end up so hot. Verse 20. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph, when he was explaining the dreams to these guys, said, hey, while you're talking to, you know, Pharaoh, can you tell him that I'm down here? Can you tell him I'm in jail and, you know, I shouldn't be? And so the butler's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And verse 23, even though the butler gets out of jail and gets to go and live his life, he forgot Joseph. How, like, worse can this get for Joseph? There is no one on his side. People are people. God is God. If you're expecting stuff from people that God should be providing, you're not going to be happy. Genesis 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh... So he was... I don't even know how long Joseph was in jail. At least 2 years. I don't know how much longer. That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh woke up. I would too. That's freaky. So there's these big, you know, healthy kine. It's cattle. There's big, healthy cattle, and then there's these little scrawny cattle. And in Pharaoh's dream, the little scrawny cattle eat the giant cattle. Whew, that's some weird stuff. Okay, so Pharaoh woke, and then verse 5, he has a similar dream. I'm not going to read it, but he has a similar dream where there's healthy corn, and then there's not healthy corn, and the little corn eats the big corn. let's see. Verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. He got all of the spiritualists, he got all of the people who should have these answers, and no one knew what it was. Then, the butler coming to the rescue. 2 years later, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, I remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with me, his servants, and put me in ward of the captain's guardhouse, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was this person with us, a young guy, some Hebrew guy, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. oh, so, all right, the butler came through 2 years later. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy. Verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But Joseph first, he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Joseph owes Pharaoh nothing, and yet he got himself ready. He shaved himself. He dressed up. Do what you do with integrity. You always represent God. Whether you got screwed or not, whether people hurt you or not, have integrity, have dignity. You represent God. He shaved up. He changed his clothes. And then he went before Pharaoh. Verse 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that you can interpret, that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph said, you've got the right guy. Here I am. Joseph, the dream interpreter here. No, it is not in me. Always clarify that for people. It's not me. It's God. You don't want people getting born again in the name of yourself. You know, it's the name of Jesus Christ. It's God where the power is. If we want to speak God's word, point them to God. They're going to see you. They're going to see you're different. But when they need answers, point them to God. Give them the answers, but say, this is from the Bible. That's why it works. I'm not that smart. I just believe God's word. Get people to God. Don't try to be their God. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, I stood upon a bank of river, blah, blah, blah. We read this already. Verse 25. So he repeats his dreams, right? Verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cattle are 7 years, and the seven good ears of corn are 7 years. The dream is one. This is one dream telling you one thing. Verse 27. And the seven thin and ill-favored cattle that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is a thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty that shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. So this is not a light dream that Pharaoh had. It wasn't just like, you need to go find some cows and corn and make dinner. That wasn't what his dream was. It was, you're going to have 7 great years, but then the country you run is going to have 7 years of terrible famine. Imagine being the president and being told what the next 14 years of your reign was going to be economically. What would you do? What did Pharaoh do? We're going to see. Let's pick it up. Verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up the corn, da 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 da. He tells them what to do. Verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the spirit of God is? This is incredible. A man of God got to sit and talk with Pharaoh and tell him, this is what's going to happen. This is what you need to do. And Pharaoh said, all right, I need a man of God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 39, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. You are going to be over my house, and according unto the word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So there's a promotion for you. Joseph's, in the morning, woke up in jail, and then later on in that day, you're going to be in charge of all of the people in my kingdom, and I'm the only one over you. And it was because people knew that Joseph had God. It wasn't because Joseph was a super impressive person. And so what ended up happening was Joseph did have dominion over the land, and he was the one who said how things go. Wisdom coming with age is not true when it comes to revelation. Joseph was a young dude. He was 17 when we started out with him. He's 30 when he ends up running Egypt. I was going to go to 1 Timothy where it says, you know, don't let anyone look disparagingly at you as a young person. It's 1 Timothy 4:12. And I also want to exhort the young people, don't be so worried about what job you're going to have, what school you're going to go to, who you're going to marry. Don't worry about this stuff. Let God do his thing in your life. He is going to prosper you in a way that you can't even picture or imagine. Put God to the test. Put 110% of your life and your heart and your priorities into God. And God is going to pay that back 1,000-fold. Don't get caught up in this stuff. Your friends are probably, if you're in high school, your friends are trying to figure out where to go to college. If you're finishing college, everyone's trying to get the right job. Who cares if you graduate from college and work at Dunkin' Donuts? At least you're not in jail, right? Who cares? You represent God wherever you go. Joseph was in jail, and people in jail needed answers. And because of those answers, he ended up running Egypt. You don't know how your life is going to work. Let God do what God does. He's going to surprise you. But your plan, you know, if you follow your plan, you're not going to be surprised. Oh, look at me. I got a cool corporate job, just like I thought would happen. You might be surprised how boring it is. Don't worry about the stuff. 110% of your life with God. Do it. And I'm almost done. I'm going to finish up here. Genesis 41, let's go to verse 53. I just want you guys to see how big of an effect this had. Verse 53, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, go to Joseph, he'll tell you what to do. Verse 56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. This wasn't some welfare program. He sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. One man's standing causes Egypt to become the greatest nation in the world. That's how all the wealth got into Egypt. Was it because of Joseph's education? No, he was in jail for his education. His great string of circumstances? No. Because of how people were good to him? No. It was because of Joseph's meekness to God. We saw that every turn in Joseph's life, God was with him. He listened and carried out revelation he got in full. Don't give up on God when people hurt you. Don't give up on God when you're not where you want to be in life. God is with you. And because of all of this wealth that ended up in Egypt, that ended up leaving Egypt with the children of Israel, a lot of that wealth. That followed God's people. You have no idea how your life can affect the world. You could change the course of this country, not because you're going to go to Harvard or something, but because you have God. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't try to follow a plan. God's got you. Just believe God. That's it.
She had us the right to teach that. Like Michael said, both these guys who taught, man, have believed God. And, you know, like last night I shared how the greatest pay I get is watching people grow. You know, when I first saw Lisi, she had just gotten in the Word, and it was like a month after that or something. I had never mentioned anywhere except that one place that I was thinking about sending a few people out for a year. And her and this girl, Maddie, who's Maddie Grossman now, they come to me at the break and they go, Lisi, I can remember Lisi go, I'm down. And Lisi doesn't know me. And I'm going, whoa. you don't know me. If you say you're down, you better friggin' mean you're... And she looks at me like, I said I'm down. And, you know, she was. And she moved the word like crazy. You know, Jimmy and her's embrace is a result of being in the battlefields together. You know, digging in with God and His Word, moving His Word. They were in Boise, Idaho for about 6 months, maybe, and I went and visited them, wondering how they were doing. I left them alone. I trained them to the best I knew and sent them. And when I got there, I had all these teachings prepared on reproof. I was going to reprove their asses and everything. And I was the one who was reproved. We walked down the main street of Boise, and everyone in that town, everyone knew who they were. Everyone. So when you saw that embrace and that emotion, that's a result of being in there with God's Word together, seeing victories, getting attacked, overcoming them. Stephanie ran a fellowship in her high school. Michael Liu's a product of that fellowship and others. And she went to school for 1 year. You know, she ends up getting this incredible job where she's hosting Super Bowl parties and everything else. You know why? She believes God. It's not the education. Some of you parents need to back off your kids. They'll end up not being too happy with you. I don't care if you go to college or not. All I care with all my kids was, do you believe God? And all my kids believe God.